in the world. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Henry Sokolsky, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, to go over items in the last 2 years. And Henry's touched on in his many presentations unsolved items, items in front of us, a form of greatest hits of what is to be done. Henry, I begin with the presentation in May of 2022 to the Pax Pacifica AUKUS workshop series, attended by a distinguished list of officials from Australia, from Cyber Command, from think tanks in and around Washington. I also see present the information warfare trainers. All of this was a presentation about what is to be done about the bamboo curtain. I ask you now, a year and a half later, given the shaky state of the Chinese economy, this presentation, this slideshow that you participated in, emphasized non-kinetic opposition to China's tyranny. How do you measure the success of the last year and a half in the non-kinetic confrontation? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I mean, I think you and I have had private conversations that suggest at least things are not as well off for the people in the Communist Party in Beijing as they were before, because of a lot of internal problems, which I'd like to think we've been helping the people in China understand are going on. Their difficulty is getting information from outside of China and understanding what's going on outside and being able to communicate about what's going on inside China safely without being reprimanded or worse, penalized. I think the proper use of cyber technology and the rest, as was presented in that seminar, is to make it easier for them to get what they need to learn about their own country and be able to talk about it amongst themselves to force the people in Beijing to be more preoccupied with what's going on in China than causing trouble militarily outside of China's borders. This is just standard Article X behavior or policy that you would pursue. So I'd like to think some of this might be the result of our cyber operations. I don't have a clearance to know, but it certainly is still a worthwhile vector of activity because it makes everyone looking better and being better, other than the people that are repressing the Chinese population and causing trouble outside of China's borders.
One of the details here is the vulnerability of the People's Republic of China is its hyper-paranoia. Do you believe that continues? Is that remain a vulnerability for non-kinetic confrontation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can't understand what Xi is doing and what's happening to the elite who constantly disappear without thinking that there's a not-so-recessive Stalinistic instinct in the man. I mean, he cannot. He's very thin-skinned. I mean, here's a guy who can't take ribbing about looking like Winnie the Pooh or, other comic characters that we see on cartoons on the weekend. I mean, he's very sensitive. Very sensitive.
We go to a second greatest hit, not yet achieved to my measure. This, we started our conversation in March of 22, following the invasion of Ukraine by the Russian forces overrunning Chernobyl and Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe. These many months later, Zaporizhia remains in a war zone. And one of the expressions in our conversation that was striking to me was when I learned from you that there is no policy in Washington now to anticipate a war zone with a nuclear power plant in the middle of it. Is that correct, Henry? Has that changed?
It's changed a little. I think privately there have been some examinations and maybe even war games, but no public policy, no. I mean, the idea that you would talk about military vulnerabilities of reactors in public and say we need to do something about it is not yet occurred. And I think that's a problem. And the reason it's a problem is we're all about talking up the idea of financing and exporting new reactors that will, you know, be licensed sometime in the future and made, is the hope, to places that are war zones in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is a good example. Eastern Europe, including Ukraine and Poland and Romania. Now, you know, that's kind of bad. And that would suggest there's less than a complete set of thoughts going around what we are intending to do. I mean, where's the emphasis on security? It's gone. It's not there.
And the reason it hasn't been solved is the IAEA. That contributed to a sense of alarm and then a sense of we've got this under control. The leadership by Grassi has been spotty. What is your measure of what the IAEA could be doing?
Well, it certainly is the case that the prime mission of the IAEA to promote peaceful nuclear energy and power reactors mostly is at the forefront too much, and that, you know, making the world safe for nuclear power seems to be just promoting it in the eyes of the IAEA. I think, in all fairness to Mr. Grossi, he's taking from America's lead on this. And you can see this in this COP28 escapade where the Department of Energy had a sideshow where they got some, you know, almost two dozen countries to say, oh, we need to triple the, you know, amount of nuclear capacity in the world by 2050. That was the United States. So, you know, Grossi is saying, oh, well, that's where we should, he's following our lead. I think no one is looking hard enough at the security risks of these things being smoldering radioactive targets in a war. And places like the Middle East, East Europe and East Asia, to say nothing of you know, India and Pakistan, the prospect of war is, you know, not zero at all. And these things have already been shot at historically, and we certainly see it in the case of Ukraine and 3D.
A third item in our conversations these last years, the Congressional Commission on the Strategic Posture of the United States, established in 2022 with National Defense Authorization Act, led by John Kyle and others. We come to the question of what is to be done for the time frame of 2027 to 2035, the threat environment of confronting two peer rivals with nuclear arsenals. To your understanding, the recommendations of this document was 2022. Is it being acted upon in Washington?
Yeah, I think it is. I just don't think it's sufficient, and I don't think they've adjusted beyond 2010 to the new threat environment that we face. And I don't think it's enough to say, oh, well, now we face two peer competitors. We did back in 2010. It's just now it's more evident because the Chinese are ramping up. I think the big thought is, well, we need more. Well, okay, more of what? And so they say, well, a nuclear weapons system. Okay, good luck. I mean, the ability of China in particular to produce more nuclear warheads and more missiles, I think, is going to easily exceed our track record of producing either. And we see this in the Sentinel program, with the idea that you can just ramp that up when you can't even get it out of the garage, it's behind schedule already, tells you that you need to think bigger about what you're going to do to cope with these two peer competitors with large numbers of nuclear missiles. And I think a lot of the answer has to do with what we talked about before. It has to do with being able to control the electromagnetic spectrum. It means probably for sure being ahead in space and being able to command the various satellite systems that do afford us the voice, the ears, the nervous systems to do military operations and commerce. And we've got to prevail up there, and we've got to be able to do well with undersea communication cables and all of that. That dimension got almost zero attention in that report. And it's quite clear that we're going to be targeted in new ways that they didn't discuss. I mean, the Chinese are developing non-nuclear, conventional ballistic and hypersonic systems that are going to be targeting not military systems, but infrastructure. I know that sounds a little kooky, but we need to start tailoring and thinking about that. There was nothing in that report about that at all. So, I mean, I could go on, but the point here is that we're going to have to do more than just to think about what we promised to do in 2010 if we want to deal with 2024 and 2037.
Henry Sikorsky is the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center Executive Director. We're discussing items in the question of nuclear weapons and also other aspects of the government that have been addressed these last 2 years and the status. We're going to turn now to the question of the classification of documents in Washington and sometimes overclassification when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.